You can begin taking your Bibles, if you will. Begin finding Revelation, the 12th chapter. You know, it's hard to believe when we think back of all that has taken place. But this is the 31st message that we will have preached from the book of Revelation. And tonight we're going to talk about Israel, Satan, and Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 12, let's rise and honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. And the Word of our God says unto us, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And that dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. Father God, as we come to your word tonight, Lord, help us to glean that which we need to glean, because, Lord, souls hang in the balance. And we can't say that enough. All around us are people who are dying and going off to hell. And Lord, we know you don't want that. I don't want it. And I doubt those who are gathered here tonight want that for family, friends, even enemies. Lord, we would that we would all come under the blood of Christ, that we would all be saved. Because hell is going to be such an awful place. So, Lord, as we go through this message tonight, help us to understand that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And, Lord, give us a voice in these last days. We can look around us, Father, and we know that time is drawing ever short. We know that soon time will be no more. Lord, we know that soon the church is going to be raptured, and very soon we're going to see the tribulation period. We can look at what's going on over in the Ukraine, and we can read about that in Ezekiel 36. We can know the signs of the times. Lord, we do not know how much longer we have to do the work of the Lord, but Father, as Jesus said, I must work while it is day, and Lord, we must work while it is day. Though the day is growing darker, we as your people must be about our Father's business. Lord, burden our hearts for those in our families. Help us to look for teachable moments. Help those who we're unsure of to receive the word of the Lord, that they might enjoy an eternity in heaven with Jesus and with us. Lord, we pray all these things tonight in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, there's a theme here in this chapter tonight, and that theme is the final conflict between Israel and Satan after he's cast out of heaven. 7 performers are going to be introduced to us by the blowing of the 7th trumpet during the Great Tribulation period. And these 7 personages, if you will, are representative of persons, both natural, supernatural, physical, spiritual, rulers, and nations. And the identification and clarification of these is essential for us to have a proper understanding of Revelation. And so we're going to take up the very first one of these personalities, because it's going to illustrate this point, you see, we're now coming to the crux of the book of Revelation, its interpretation, for the entire book of Revelation revolves around this first personality. And we're introduced here to the woman. Well, who is that woman? The Bible says here, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. Well, who is this woman? What are the identifying marks that are given to us? And we see here, they're given to us are the sun, the moon, and the stars. Well, friends, do you realize this takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis? They belong to Israel. And it takes us back to Joseph's dream. You remember Joseph. He had a dream. He told it to his brothers. And in Joseph's dream, chapter 37, verse 9 and 10, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth? I want us to note that old Jacob interpreted the sun, the moon, and the stars to mean himself, Rachel and Joseph's brothers. And they all did bow down before Joseph there in Egypt. Although Rachel had died by that time, if you know your Bible. And the woman is a sign in heaven, although her career is here on earth. Now, she's not a literal woman. She is a symbol. The career of the woman corresponds to that of the nation Israel. For it is Israel that gave birth to Jesus Christ, who is the child. You know, at Christmas time, we hear often the words from Isaiah 9 and 6. It's so familiar to us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And other verses concerning the birth of Christ. This verse does concern the birth of Christ, but it does not concern us at all. Rather, it concerns the nation of Israel. Friends, do you realize as we gather here tonight, there is no prophecy whatsoever left to be fulfilled for the church. There is prophecy left to be fulfilled for Israel, but that prophecy cannot take place until the time of the great tribulation. And all that we see going around our world today is setting the stage for the coming time of that great tribulation. We are at the doorstep of the rapture of the church. And we need to understand that. And so God here in Revelation 12 is speaking about Israel, his chosen people, his chosen nation. And he's not speaking relative to a savior here, but he's speaking relative to a governor, a ruler, and a king. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, one who was to come and rule over them. Isaiah wrote, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. It's interesting that as a child, he was born in his humanity, but as a son from eternity, he was given. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what, church? Amen. When men run around today and say peace and safety, it is idle talk because men are working at it from the wrong end. It is the human heart that is wrong. Do we understand that? My heart, your heart, the heart of every man, woman, and child in this world today is wrong. That's the problem. And Jesus will bring peace when he comes because he is the Prince of Peace. Now I want you to understand something tonight. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he came as a suffering servant. He came to bleed and to die and to take my punishment and your punishment, and he nailed it to the cross and he shed his blood so that you and I might have eternal life. But friend, when Jesus Christ comes again, he'll be coming in power. He'll be coming with a rod of iron. He's going to put down all we see going on in this world today. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. You know, that's going to be the darndest war we ever thought of. The Bible says the church is going to come with them. We're going to be riding horses. And Jesus is going to open his mouth, and that's it. We won't draw a sword. We won't engage in battle. The Lord God will speak, and that will be the end of it. Such is the power of Almighty God. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, a Savior is given." Listen to me. Isaiah was speaking to Israel, and John picks that up here in Revelation. Now, the words travailing in birth is a figure that's often associated with Israel. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." In May 1948, Israel was born as a nation in one day, just as Isaiah prophesied. The word of God is true altogether. Therefore, it's important for our understanding that we identify the woman as Israel. No woman who has ever lived, including the Virgin Mary, fits into this, and being tormented also reminds us of all the anti-Semitism that Israel has faced as a nation since the birth of Jesus Christ to this present time. Now look with me at verses 3 and 4. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now again, these are signs that are given. They're not literal. If John were giving us a literal symbol, he would make that clear to us that it was a literal symbol. But he identifies the dragon. And if you look in the same chapter at verse 9, you'll read, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The true character of Satan is what is being revealed here with all the wrappings removed. First, he is called great because of his vast power. Friend, he controls the nations of this world right now. And when we look at what is going on in the Ukraine, none of us can deny that the person behind Putin is none other than Satan himself. And Putin is filled with the devil. He controls the nations of the world. And you'll remember, he offered them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll give you all the nations of the world if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written. Praise God, it is. Worship of himself is Satan's ultimate goal. Now, do you want to know what's growing quicker than the church in the world today? It's the Wiccans. The worship of Satan. People are flocking to worship Satan today. The worship of himself has been always Satan's goal. The kingdoms of this world are his, and he controls them today. Second, he's called red because of the fact that he is a murderer. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. I want you to understand something tonight. Satan has no regard for you or for me or for anybody. He has no regard whatsoever. He don't care. He has no regard for the church, and he has no regard for the lost. He just wants to drag them down to where he is so they can suffer as he is. And as he will, he has no regard for human life. My friend, it don't take a rocket scientist to know that all the atrocities we see and have heard about all throughout our lives come from Satan himself. Do you realize that Putin didn't want Russian soldiers being returned, so he actually has furnaces to burn up soldiers who die so they don't come home? It's genocide. And if he's going to do that to his own, what's he going to do to those who are not his own? You can think of all the school shootings. You can think of everything that's gone on from Hitler till today. Satan is behind it all. Listen to me. Makes it hard for me to understand why so many want to serve him today. He has no regard for you. No regard for anybody. I mean, think about this. He gets people strung out on drugs so they can't even think sane thought. He wants to rip apart marriages because they're a testimony of God's amazing grace. He wants to tear apart families. He wants to get people strung out on drugs, alcohol, you name it, wrapped up in everything. No regard whatsoever. And then he's called dragon because of the viciousness of his character. Now we all know what the Bible teaches. He was originally called Lucifer, the son of the morning. But he is now the epitome of hell and the depth of degradation. He is the most dangerous in all of God's creation. He's my enemy. He's your enemy. And he's your enemy most certain if you are a child of God. This is what God had his prophet Ezekiel write about Satan. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Ezekiel 28:11-19. Now the reason the beast in Revelation 13, which we'll come to, is similar to the dragon is because both the restored Roman Empire and the Antichrist are empowered and they're controlled by Satan. Rome, through the instrumentality of both Herod and Pilate, sought to destroy the child of the woman. Think about those mock trials. Think about the suffering of our Savior. Think about how Herod mocked him, how Pilate had him scourged. Seven heads suggest the perfection of wisdom that characterized the creation of Satan, who is originally, as we've just read, the covering cherub. Now there's two fallacies the people of the world have in regard to Satan. You know, a lot of people think he's just a little red guy with a pointy tail and horns on his head. They think he's ugly. But the Bible says he's beautiful. He was created in perfect beauty. And Satan will come at you in all kinds of forms. He knows your weak point. He might come to you as a shiny brand new car. He might come to you as a beautiful woman or a gorgeous man in an illicit relationship. He's going to come at you because he wants to destroy you. He's going to come at your children. He's going to come at those things you love. And you're going to try to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind because you know that God requires it of you. You know you're going to try to be holy because you know God requires it of you. And then he's going to come against you and he's going to fight against you and he's going to cause you to slip and fall. And you don't got to go looking for trouble. You see, Job said something very important. Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen, you can be sitting in your house having a wonderful time, being in your right mind, reading your Bible, and the old devil's going to come against you. Now, most folks here tonight know that's true because you're all well-matured Christians. I think we might be able to say something we say. We've all been around the block, amen? We've got a little bit of experience in life. We know what it's like to battle the devil. So it amazes me how many people want to think they can overcome him in their own strength. You're only going to overcome him by relying on Jesus Christ. We are no match for Satan. He'll chew us up and spit us out like that. That's why, you know, I keep writing on the Facebook page about putting on the whole armor of God and the different things that we're going to go through, we're going to experience. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to put it on every day, and we need to pray. Because only the armor of God can protect us. We need to put it on in the morning, lest we go out the door naked and get devoured. Listen to me. we're no match for him. And if we try to face him on our own, what's the Bible say? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And friend, if you try to fight him on your own, you're going to be devoured. That's how powerful he is. He's not only beautiful, the Bible says he's full of wisdom. 10 horns suggest the final division of the Roman Empire that is dominated by Satan and is his final effort to the rule of the world. The crowns are on the horns, not on the head, since it is delegated power from Satan. And the Bible gives us a picture of delegated power from Satan. You remember the Last Supper. How Jesus took the sop, the choice morsel. It was given to the revered guest, and he handed it to Judas. And the Bible says the moment that Judas took it, the devil entered into him. That's delegated power. When Satan fell, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. They followed Satan to their own destruction. And many are following Satan to their own destruction today. And I talked about that this morning just a little bit. If you're going to live the Christian life, you've got to live it according to God's word. And if you're going to live the Christian life, you've got to come to God as he says you're to come. He is God, and we are not. None of us has the power to live the Christian life in our own strength. And if you don't know what God says, you're just making it up as you go along. And that ain't going to work. We need to know what God says. Amen? We need to live by the Word. We need to grow in the Word. We need the power of the Word. And the power of the Word is Jesus Christ himself. He is the Word of God, and we need Jesus Christ himself to be our power through the power of his Holy Spirit to give us all the strength we need. 1/3 the angels followed Satan to their own destruction. And the Bible tells us that the dragon hates the man-child. It was predicted all the way back in Genesis 3 and 15, the very first prophecy of a coming Savior. That the child would be the undoing of Satan. He would step on his head. He would crush him. The Lord said to Adam and Eve, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The child of the woman is Jesus Christ. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. "And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Now the Bible is very clear. And I pray that every one of you have read the Bible at least one time through, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And I pray you've been a good Bible student, that you've taken notes, that you've written things down, because God unfolds from the beginning of time until the end of time everything that's taken place, everything that's going on right now. And the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is going to come and put down all enmity, all opposition, all rebellion on the earth. He's going to put it down. And the question is, how is he going to do it? Well, Psalm 2:9 gives us the answer. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. How is he going to do it? With a rod of iron. He came as a suffering servant the first time. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, in the Gospels, the emphasis is on Jesus' death. In the epistles, the emphasis is on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when we come to the book of Revelation, it is on the ascension of Jesus Christ. Note what verse 5 says, he was caught up unto God and to his throne. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of the ascended Jesus Christ, the glorified Jesus Christ, the Christ who is coming in glory and power. You know, the whole book of Revelation rests upon the ascension. That's why the writer of Hebrews encourages us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Listen, today, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, look up for Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Now verse 6 states, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. And this is a reference to the intense heat that is going to take place during the last half of the Great Tribulation in Israel. A remnant is going to be protected by God. If you read the Bible, God always has a remnant. And I'm reminded again of the word of God's promise given to Israel by Isaiah. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob. Listen to the beauty of these words. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. You know, I think of those waters as some little trouble. But them rivers, they some bigger troubles, aren't they? But how many of you have lived through fiery trials? Now, I tell you, when I'm going through a fiery trial, I love to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into that fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, I see a fourth man in there, and that one is like the Son of God. Our God will protect us in these days. They came out, they didn't even smell like fire. Not a hair was singed. The intense heat of the last half of the Great Tribulation and the fact that God is going to protect the remnant of Israel reminds us once again God is calling out to mankind today. He's calling out to mankind tonight. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Brothers and sisters, there is a real, literal fire burning in hell tonight. As truly as you have a real body, there is a real, literal fire burning in hell tonight. A fire like that which we have on the earth. Except this fire will not consume you. It's just going to torture you for all eternity. Perhaps you've seen asbestos lying amid some red hot coals in times past. But you know, asbestos was never consumed. And so your body, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, Your body will be prepared by God in such a way that it will burn forever without ever being consumed. Jesus said, hell is an awful place. It's a place where the worm never dies, the fire never goes out. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know the great cry that's out in hell tonight? If only. If only I'd have believed that preacher. If only I'd have listened to that Sunday school teacher. If only I'd have taken that call and really listened to my granddaddy, my grandma, my daddy, my mama, my cousin, when they tried to tell me about Jesus. If only I wouldn't be here right now. Now, friend, you need to know something. Today's the day of second chances. But when you leave this earth, there are no more opportunities for salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Today. Don't leave this earth without Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. When you're in hell, you're going to cry out for mercy, but it shall never, 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 no, never, ever come. Make certain that you are saved. Father, tonight as we close this message, oh Lord, the hour is such that there are many who need to be saved in our families, in our community, in our nation, in our country, in our state, Lord, all the world around. There are many who need to be saved. They need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, Lord, as we gathered here tonight, as we've heard your word, we know of people who are not yet saved. We know of people we're not sure that they're saved. Oh Lord, let our hearts be your heart, that none should perish, but that all should receive and repent and have eternal life. Lord, give us a greater understanding that we might be a better witness. Strengthen us in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.